Welcome to Grace Bible Study. Would you please turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Now today we're going to talk about how to share Christ with a Jew, okay? Or how to share Christ with someone that doesn't believe the New Testament Scriptures, all right? Now I want you to go to the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 9. Now, in Acts chapter 9, I tell you what, let's start at verse 1. Now, most of you might know about the Apostle Paul by now, because if you watched all these other, the rest of the series before this one, you've learned about the Apostle Paul. Verse 1 in Acts chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." Now, what we're going to do, we're going to kind of cut to the chase here, and what we have is we have this man named Saul, Saul of Tarsus, and what he's doing is he's going around, he's beating up Christians, okay, is what he's doing. He's killing people that believe in Jesus Christ. He's taking them and putting them in prison and that kind of thing. And as you know, the Lord appeared to him on the way to Damascus and told him, obviously, that he was doing the wrong thing. And so what happens is, just a few days later, this man Saul, whose later his name was changed to Paul, well, he starts preaching about Jesus Christ. Now watch, in Acts chapter 9, let's tell you what, let's go to verse 17, Acts chapter 9, verse 17. "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God." So what we have here, we have the Apostle Paul preaching in the synagogue. In other words, the Apostle Paul is talking to the Jews in the synagogue, and he is preaching that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Let's go on, verse 21. "But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he... is not this he that destroyed them which called on his, this name in Jerusalem, and came thither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ." Okay? So what we have here, we have the Apostle Paul, he is proving to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. Well, how is he proving to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ? Now, question, think about it. Did Paul have the New Testament Scriptures? Did he have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? No, he did not. Did he have the book of Acts? No, he didn't have that. Did he have any of his epistles that he was going to write? No, he didn't have those things. Well, what did the Apostle Paul have? Excuse me. Well, all the Apostle Paul had was the Old Testament Scriptures. And he was using those Old Testament Scriptures to prove to the people that Jesus was the Christ. Now, watch. I want you to go to Acts chapter 18. Excuse me. Acts chapter 18, I want you to notice in verse 24. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus." Now I want you to notice that this man is mighty in the Scriptures, okay? What Scriptures was he mighty in? Well, he was mighty in the Old Testament Scriptures. He didn't have any New Testament Scriptures. Now watch, verse 25. "This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass unto Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace." Now watch verse 28. "For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. All right, so what we have here, we have this man named Apollos who was mighty in the scriptures, okay? At first, he only knew the baptism of John. But then Aquila and Priscilla, which were Paul's companions in travel, all right? Aquila and Priscilla, they took unto Apollos unto themselves, and they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. What did they do? They told him about Jesus Christ. So Apollos took this, and because he was mighty in the scriptures, he could take this and prove to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Okay? Now, here's the deal. We have a lot of Jews out there, okay, but they do not believe the New Testament scriptures. They will believe the Old Testament scriptures. And I'm going to tell you about a situation I ran across. Now watch. But first of all, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want you to notice in verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1, the Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." So what we have here is the gospel that was given unto the Apostle Paul, it is according to the Scriptures. What Scriptures? Not the New Testament Scriptures, because those New Testament Scriptures weren't written yet. They were his gospel was according to the Old Testament Scriptures. All right. So how do you go about telling somebody that doesn't believe the New Testament Scriptures? In other words, the New Testament Scriptures tell us about Jesus, and they tell us about him dying and paying for sins, and that we're saved by grace through faith, and these type of things. How do you go about sharing Christ with someone that doesn't believe the New Testament? Okay? Now, you got to understand, that's all the Apostle Paul had back then. All he had was the Old Testament Scriptures. That's all the Apollos had. That's all Peter and James and all them had. All they had was the Old Testament Scriptures. Now, a long time ago, I used to work at a car dealership. And at this car dealership, they had a young man in the service department. I'm not going to give you his name, but this young man, he was a Jew. And so I felt led to share Christ with this man. And so I eventually got an opportunity to talk with him. And so I asked him, I said, do you believe the New Testament Scriptures? And he told me no. I said, well, do you believe the Old Testament Scriptures? He said, yes. I said, would you be willing to go through the Old Testament Scriptures with me? And he said, yeah, I'll do that. All right, now you got to understand, this man was a Jew. He's been down to the synagogue. He's listened to the Old Testament Scriptures all his life. And so first thing I asked him was, I said, you believe in the Messiah, correct? He goes, yeah, I believe in the Messiah. I said, do you believe he has come yet? He goes, no, we're waiting on the Messiah to come. I said, okay, that's fine. I said, so you do believe in the Messiah, and you believe that he hasn't come yet, and he is going to come. And he says, yes. I said, okay, let's go to the Old Testament Scriptures where it talks about the Messiah. Now, the word Messiah is only mentioned two times in the Old Testament Scriptures, and it's both in Daniel chapter 9. Let's go there. All right, Daniel chapter 9. Now, in Daniel chapter 9, we're going to start right here, and let's start in verse 24. And I wanted to show this young man about the Messiah. Now, it's only mentioned twice. They always talk about the Messiah, but it's only mentioned twice in the Old Testament. Okay, and it's right here in Daniel chapter 9, once in verse 25 and once in verse 26. Okay, but we're going to start in verse 24. It says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city, and to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks. And 62 weeks, the street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. Now watch verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. All right. So I showed this and I read this to the young man. And I said, well, you believe in the Messiah? He goes, yeah. I said, now watch this. And I said, verse 26, let's go back over it again. I said, and after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. I said, do you know what cut off means? And you got to understand, this guy was a Jew. He goes, yeah, I know what that means. He says it means to die. And he looked at it and he goes, and he looked perplexed. Okay. He goes, yeah, cut off means to die. Now, I didn't know if he knew this or not, but for those of you that don't know, let's go to some other scriptures, okay? I want you to go to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. Now, you know in the book of Genesis, it talks about the flood of Noah, and the Lord made a covenant that he wouldn't destroy the earth anymore, and he put a rainbow in the cloud. Now, watch. Let's go to Genesis chapter 9. Notice in verse 8, Genesis chapter 9, verse 8, it says, And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl and of the cattle and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. So what happened to all flesh during the flood? Well, the Bible says all flesh died. Everything that breathed air, except for the people that were on the ark, the 8 people that were on the ark, and the animals that were on the ark, okay, everything else died. The Bible says the Lord killed them all, okay? And it says here, verse 11, And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. All right? So in other words, the term cut off means to die. Okay? All right? Go to Exodus. Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. Notice in verse 12, the Bible says, And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. So what we have here is cut off means to die. Verse 15, 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. So what we have here in verse 14 and verse 15, it talks about anybody that does work on the Sabbath day, they're going to be cut off. All right. In other words, they're going to die. They shall be put to death. So what we have here, let's go back to Daniel chapter 9. And notice in verse 26, it says, And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. So I asked this young man, which was a Jew, I said, now your Messiah hasn't come yet, huh? He goes, no. I said, now according to this scripture here, what's going to happen to him when he gets here? And he looked at it, and like I said, he had a perplexed look on his face. He says, well, according to this, the Messiah is going to be cut off. He says he's going to die. I said, that's exactly right. That's exactly what the Bible says, okay? And he looked at it again, after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. He goes, yeah, that's what it says. He says, it says the Messiah is going to die. I said, but watch what the next part says. It says, but not for himself. I said, what does that mean? He goes, well, obviously, if he's going to die, but he's not going to die for himself. He says he must be going to die for somebody else. I said, that's exactly right. Okay, that's exactly what it says. It says here, After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. You know, it's amazing to me, okay, that you go to some of these synagogues. Well, I've never been, but I mean, people that go to these synagogues and they hear about the Messiah all the time, about the Messiah coming, the Messiah coming. The Messiah is only mentioned twice in the Old Testament scriptures, all right? One verse after the other, and the latter verse says the Messiah is going to die. But they don't tell people that when the Messiah gets here, he's going to die, okay? This was something new to this Jew. He had never seen this before. All right. Well, he never had it explained to him before anyway. But it says here the Messiah is going to be cut off, but not for himself. I said, do you believe that? He goes, that's what it says. He goes, yeah, I believe that. It's what it says. I said, okay. Now, I said, do you believe the book of Isaiah? He goes, yeah, I believe the book of Isaiah. I said, okay, let's go to Isaiah. So I took him to Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 52. In Isaiah chapter 52, the Bible starts talking about a suffering servant. All right, Isaiah chapter 52, notice in verse 13, I read this to the young man. Now watch. It says, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many as were stoned at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The king shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. So I went back to verse 14, and I told him, I said, let's read this again. It says, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So we have scripture here about a servant. Okay? He says, yeah, okay, we got a servant we're talking about. It says his visage was so marred. In other words, his appearance was marred more than any man. He goes, okay. I said, let's go on. Chapter 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. Now, I told him, I said, now look, we're still talking about this servant. Okay, so let's go on. Verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So I stopped right here at verse 6. I said, what does it mean the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all? I said, do you know what iniquity is? He goes, yeah, it's sin. He goes, what does it mean by he hath laid on him the iniquity of us all? He said, well, it looks like he put the sin of everybody on this one person. I said, okay, let's go on. Verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before her shearers is dumb, so opened he not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. All right, I said, now what's going to happen to this guy? And he read that thing. It says, well, it looks like he's going to die also. And it said, I said, yeah, because it says he was cut off out of the land of the living. He goes, yeah, he's going to die too. And I said, why is this guy going to die? And the next verse it says, well, the next part it says, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. All right. So in other words, for the sin of the people, this is why this man died. Okay. And it notice it says here in verse 7, in verse 6, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. I said, does it look like this man is going to die and pay for somebody's sins? And he goes, well, that's what it looks like. I said, well, let's keep going on. Watch, verse 9. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he hath done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Now, I asked him a question. I said, does it look like the Lord's going to make this servant's soul an offering for sin? He goes, yeah, that's what it says. I said, okay, let's go on. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Now, I asked him, I said, now this righteous servant, it says he's going to justify many. It says because he's going to bear their iniquities. Now, is he going to take on their sin? He goes, yeah, he's going to bear their iniquities. I said, okay, let's go on. Verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So I asked him one more time. I said, does it look like this person is going to bear the sin of many and make intercession for the transgressors? And he said, yeah, that's what it looks like. I said, does it look like he's going to redeem people from their sin? He goes, yeah, that's what it looks like. Okay? I said, okay, that's all I want to know. All right? So what we have is, in Daniel, we have the Messiah is going to die, but not for himself. In other words, he's going to die for somebody else. And then we come to Isaiah, it talks about a suffering servant. And it says here that this servant, all right, is going to die and pay for somebody else's sin. So what we have here, I said, is a possibility that the Messiah and this servant is the same person. He just would, maybe. Maybe. Okay? So what I'm trying to show you here is, in the Old Testament scriptures, it tells us about the Messiah. Okay? And what's going to happen to the Messiah? He's going to die. Okay? Now, we as Christians know the Messiah has already come, all right? And his name is Jesus Christ, and he died and paid for our sins. But people that don't believe in Jesus Christ, but believe the Old Testament scriptures, they believe in the Messiah, but they don't believe the Messiah has come yet. All you have to do is show them when the Messiah gets here, he's going to die, but not for himself. He's going to be dying for someone else. So I told the young man, I said, come on, let's go on some more scripture. He said, okay. So I went to Genesis. All right, in Genesis, all right, let's go to chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. All right, in Genesis chapter 1, I said, let's notice in verse 26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. I asked him a question. I said, do you see here where it's plural? It says, let us make man in our image. I said, who is that up there with God? All right? Do you see it's plural, not singular? And he goes, yeah, but that's probably the angels. I went, okay, that's fine. As long as you see, it's talking plural here, all right, where God said, let us make man in our image. Whoever you want it to believe, that's fine. But the thing is, as long as you see it's plural, it's more than one. I said, now let's go to some other scripture. By the way, you believe God created the heaven and the earth? He goes, oh yeah. I said, okay, let's go to Proverbs. All right, in Proverbs, let's go to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. I said, and I asked this young man, I said, do you believe the Proverbs? He goes, yes, indeed. I believe the Old Testament scripture. I said, okay, let's go there. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 1. It says, the words of Agur, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy, the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Ucal. Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom, nor have the knowledge of the holy. Who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? And I stopped right there. And I asked him, I said, who hath established all the ends of the earth? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? And he told me, he says, God did. God established all the ends of the earth. I said, okay, let's read on. It says, what is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? And when he read this, his jaw dropped. He just went, I asked him a question. I said, does God have a son? He looked at it and he goes, What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? He says, yeah, it looks like God does have a son. I said, what's his name? And you know what? He knew what the answer was, but he wouldn't tell me what God's son's name was. Okay? And I asked him, I said, let me ask you this. Is it possible, okay, is it possible that this Messiah that is going to come, and when he comes here, he's going to die, but not for himself. And this servant, all right, that he's going to suffer and die and pay for people's sins, okay? And then God is going to have a son, okay? Now, is it possible that this Messiah, this servant, and this son is all the same person? And he didn't answer me. Okay? He knew who I was talking about. He knew I was talking about Jesus Christ, and I didn't even have to mention Jesus Christ's name. Okay? Now, because the Old Testament Scripture, you can take the Old Testament Scriptures and prove to people that Jesus is the Christ. Okay? There's only one person that ever existed that died and paid for the sins of everybody in the entire world. His name is Jesus Christ. All right, and not only the ones we've covered here, but there's plenty, plenty more. If you can take a Jew and get this far with them, you might want to show them a few other things. Now watch. Let's go back to Isaiah. All right. In Isaiah, let's go to chapter 7. All right, Isaiah chapter 7, I want you to notice in verse 14, it says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Do you believe the Old Testament Scriptures? Yes. Do you believe that God's going to have a sign where a virgin will conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us? Okay? So you can share this with a Jew if you want to. Now watch. Go to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, I want you to notice in verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So what we have here is we have more scripture that tells us about the Messiah. All right, the Messiah is going to be born of a virgin, and his name is going to be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and he's going to have a government. And the increase of his government, increase in the peace of his government, there shall be no end. All right, upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. This sounds like something the Messiah is going to do, right? Okay, now a lot of Jews, they understand about the Messiah. The Messiah is going to come, set up his kingdom and all this kind of stuff. But they don't realize the Messiah is going to die. It is very, very plain in the Scripture. The Bible says about a suffering servant, okay, and this servant is going to die and pay for someone else's sins. And we also have scripture that tells us about a son, the Son of God. He's going to be born of a virgin, and he is going to set up his kingdom and rule forever. All right? So what we have here, people, we've got the Old Testament scriptures, and there's many, many more. Okay? You can go like into Matthew. You can find out where his Bible talks about him coming out of Egypt. And he shall be called a Nazarene and all these kind of things. Okay? Jesus fulfilled many, 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 many scriptures when he came down here. Okay? But if you can get these people just to see, all right, that the Messiah is going to die, and this Messiah is going to die and pay for people's sins, okay? This is according to the Scriptures. This is the Scriptures that the Apostle Paul used, okay? Now watch. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want you to notice here again, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So what we have here, people, we have Scripture on top of Scripture on top of Scripture in the Old Testament that testify about Jesus Christ dying and paying for sins. This happens in the Old Testament Scriptures. You can use these Scriptures to share Christ with people that don't even believe the New Testament. See, you don't have to have just the New Testament to share Christ with someone. You can go back into the Old Testament Scriptures and lead someone to Christ. The Apostle Paul, that's the way he did it. That's the only way he could do it. Today, we have the Bible put together. We've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all the way through the book of Revelation. It tells us about Jesus Christ. It tells us about when he came, when he ascended up into heaven, when he's going to come back and he's going to set up his kingdom and all this kind of good stuff. We have the New Testament Scriptures. But a lot of people don't believe the New Testament Scriptures. But you have to be prepared to share Christ with them, even with only the Old Testament people. Now today, we have even more goodies here. Now watch, let's go to Ephesians. Now we don't have, today we're under the mystery, okay? We have something that was hid before the foundation of the world. Now what we have here is about us being saved by grace through faith. Now watch, I want you to notice in Ephesians chapter 2, notice in verse 8 it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, people, we've got all this kind of good stuff here that we can share Christ with people, and we can explain to them that we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're living today during the mystery. You're not going to find salvation by grace through faith in the Old Testament Scriptures. It's not there. It is a mystery. It was something hid in God, and God revealed it unto the Apostle Paul, and we receive it today. Now, if you're out there today and you haven't trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let's go to Romans chapter 10. The Bible says here in verse 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you're out there today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never called upon Jesus Christ and asked Him to save you, people, you're not saved yet, all right? You might be thinking, well, I've been to church all my life and I've prayed to God. Well, have you asked Jesus Christ to save you? There's only one Savior out there. His name is Jesus Christ, and you have to go through Jesus Christ to get saved. The Bible says, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You cannot bypass Jesus Christ and get to the Father. It ain't happening, people. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved."